For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Here on Scalzo and Brust, hanging out with everybody today. Marathon hosting day to compliment the 100 holes of golf he will be playing to benefit the Mac Fund coming up on April 28th at the Bog.
That is correct. So the thought process, I play golf all day on the 28th, so host all day to benefit the Mac Fund, raise some money for that event. You can text 800-990-3776 with the keyword MAC, M-A-C-C, to get a donation link sent directly to you. And Josh, I might need your help here, because last year when I did this, you did a tremendous job of bullying the Scalzo and Brust family into donating. So if we could start doing that again, that would be fantastic. If we could get up over $3,000.
What are we at now?
$2,774.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. So if we could,
we'll get up over $3,200 for Gabe here today. Do it right now. Text us, Mac, 800-990-3776. We will send you a direct link. Then all you got to do is donate.
I'll give the Scalzo and Brust family till 5:30 until I start bullying and directly calling people out by name.
Whoa.
I like it.
Whoa.
I appreciate that, Josh.
You bet.
If we get to $3,200 today, Ben Brust has given permission for Josh DiMaggio to slap him in the face like Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in the face. We'll post it on video on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust.
Yep. I like
that's it. That's all we got to do.
You guys are so generous.
Money.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Ben.
That's all we got to do.
Thank
well, there goes my donation to the Mac Fund.
Thank you, Ben.
I was just about to text 800-990.
You didn't even defend yourself. Like, I clearly just made that up out of the blue, and you decided not to even
argue.
But
if it means we get more money for the Mac Fund, I'll take a slap to the face.
See, that's a team player right there.
There it is.
That's a team player right there. 800-990-3776.
What a guy.
Text Mac.
The things this guy does for charity.
Now, that's the thing is I was going to do my own donation, but I feel like volunteering my face for a slap is just as good.
So now you're not donate?
You could just donate after the show just to not add to the total.
Good point.
Beforehand.
Yep. Yeah, because, again, you can donate through the beginning of that event on the 28th. And the text code, you'll probably hear some spots throughout the course of the next couple of weeks. That text code will still be good through the 28th if you text MACC to 800-990-3776. You will get that donation link.
There we go, Scalzo and Brust family. I think it's for the slap. I mean, now they're coming in really hot. So
that's what we want.
I don't like this.
That's what we want. Here
if we get a one-time like that, we just need 1,000. What if somebody just puts it all up in one? I'm getting slapped.
I mean, Ben, you don't think I would do that before we finish? Whatever the difference is, yeah. You know what? No, I'm not going to do it. The Scalzo and Brust family will come through, and we'll take it to an even higher level. 800-990-3776. We'll let Gabe do a little work here on the text line. Thank you all for texting in to the First Midwest Bank Talking Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. The NFL draft coming up in less than 3 weeks. Many Packers fans, many fans in general, looking at that as the main vehicle, or at least the timing in which the Packers will be able to build out the rest of the roster, specifically at wide receiver, whether it is trading those draft picks or drafting those wide receivers, potentially moving a Jordan Love to create more in the arsenal to be able to go out and build up that wide receiver room. It was interesting. Pete Schrager from Good Morning Football talked about the scarcity of top-end wide receivers in this draft. I shouldn't say scarcity. I should say the... what's the best way to put this here? The possibility that your top five wide receivers may all be taken in the top 20. Here's Shrags.
I'm told there are five first-round worthy wide receivers in this draft. Here are the top five wide receivers. Order them however you want. Here are the names, all right? Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, Drake London. There's five guys. There are 32 teams in the NFL. There are about 26 with first-round picks. And if you start getting to the 20s to the 30s, there are a lot of teams who are going to want to take a wide receiver. They might be gone by then. I say all this to say a Green Bay at 22. They might have to trade up to get one of these players. New Orleans, who has the 16 and the 19, or they might need to trade up to get one of their guys. The Chargers at 17, they might need to trade up. There might be a run on these wide receivers, but there only being five first-rounders. At 8 with Atlanta, maybe 10 with the Jets. Washington has 11. You start talking about teams in that range. All these people at home with like, oh, we'll just take a wide receiver in the 20s. Like, hey, we'll just get the best wide receiver.
Whoever's left.
Guess what? There might not be. So I would say this. There are five that have first-round grades. Keep an eye on those.
That again, Pete Schrager on Good Morning Football. What's wrong, Ben?
That music was intense in the background. That's all.
Yeah, they had him in front of like a, one of those digital boards, so they were really trying to spice it up.
It's wild. Spicy. Yeah, I mean, first of all, again, you're going to hear all of this stuff. All the prognosticators are going to come up. Right now, you're hearing multiple quarterbacks are going to be taken in the top six. Then it's, you know, you're going to have your three edge rushers being taken top three overall, I've seen. You've got the two O-linemen in there. There's just... not going, all of it's not going to happen simply because there aren't that many picks to be able to take all these top end players, and every agent and everybody's throwing smoke up into the air right now. But it does bring up a larger, I think, conversation and question. Would you rather have this Packers team target and trade up for one of those top five guys, losing draft capital on the back end, or would you rather have them sit where they are, or potentially even trade back in order to get more picks to be able to take more shots to find that right player? I ask because the Packers have traditionally found success by being one of the teams that takes as many shots as possible, and even when you do feel like you've got the answer at wide receiver, just look 2 years ago, Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver out of that class. He was, what, the fifth wide receiver, maybe sixth wide receiver taken in that draft class. You see it all the time where your top guys aren't always necessarily the top guys.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is like a not an example like Justin Jefferson. He was a hit.
It's an exception to that.
Exception to the rule.
Yes.
Now, that's the thing. What we have seen from Brian Gutekunst is Jordan Love was a guy that was on his board, and he did give up minimal capital for Jordan Love, but he did trade up for his guy. So he's shown the ability to do that for a quarterback, and it's obviously something that is a necessary need for this Green Bay Packers team, but you can't get it wrong. And that's the scary thing, because how many wide receivers has he gotten right? I guess you could say MVS is one, obviously just based off his payday, but not necessarily off of time of play for the Green Bay Packers and overall production. He did lead the NFL in yards per reception 1 year, but in terms of what they got out of MVS in the 3 years as a Packer, I would say it's a little bit underwhelming. I would have loved to have gotten a little bit more. So if he's going to trade up, he absolutely has to hit the guy. And if there are these options in 5 to 6 potential first round draft picks, which who knows when you get to the draft, it's wide receivers, a position where it always, that year that Justin Jefferson was drafted, and even last year, we're seeing more wide receivers drafted, but 7 to 8 might be a little bit crazy to think that you're going to get inside the top 20. I just think if the Packers trade up, I'm okay with it. You just can't miss it. You absolutely cannot miss it because your window is shortened because Aaron Rodgers' contract feels like the year to year. So you need to hit on a guy that can make an impact right away if you're going to trade up. If not, I'm fine getting multiple guys if you don't believe in who you trade for. If they trade up, it has to be a home run. Otherwise, it's a failure.
Yeah, but you don't know if it's, I mean, yes, it's like, again, what you're saying eliminates the entirety of the conversation. Because there is no sure thing in the draft. Like, the idea of if you trade up, it has to be a home run. So are you saying you would rather have them do that and take that risk, knowing that there's probably a 50% hit rate on first round wide receivers? Or would you rather have them trade back for a guy who's less likely to hit but take multiple of them? That's the math equation. If you could trade up and you get a 100% chance of drafting a stub wide receiver, then yeah.
I know if the risk is 50%. I'm just saying I would take that risk, yes. I would take the risk because they need someone who can make more of an impact, in my opinion, than trading back versus some guys that you hope are as good as the first rounders.
If it's a if it's the Jordan Love situation, you're trading up a couple and you give up a fourth rounder, cool. Then I don't think it has to be as big of a hit because you still have those other picks. You have 28, you have 53, you have 59 to potentially pick up another wide receiver to kind of be a backup plan to that. Okay, we went up and got this guy, but if you give up both your first round picks to move, you know, something outrageous into the top 15, make a big leap from 22 to 12 or whatever it would take in order to get one of those guys, then yeah, you're probably going to have to hit on that guy because your draft capital. Look, the Packers are all these draft picks that they make, they're not going to make the roster. Like, while the Packers roster is incredibly thin at wide receiver, there's not a lot of open roster spots because they did bring back a lot of defensive backs. They probably have a little bit of a need at outside linebacker, a little bit of need at the interior line. Their offensive line, they've used some draft picks in the past there. Doubt they really go out and spend a draft pick on an offensive lineman high. Running backs seem to be fine. They're not going to draft a quarterback. So they're not going to have enough roster spots to use all the picks they currently have. So yeah, by all means, use some of that capital to move up if there's a guy that you don't think is going to be there at 22.
Yeah, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. What would you prefer to do? And again, when you do look at first-round wide receivers, they do hit at about a 50% rate, and it tends to be, oddly, that the receivers that get drafted in the top 10 hit less likely
than
that 10 to 20 seems to be the real sweet spot that you get. Now, that's not a hard and fast rule. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase last year was the guy in that draft for the Cincinnati Bengals. But you go back to Corey Davis in 17 getting taken fifth overall by the Titans, and then Mike Williams, who, yeah, has a little resurgence, taken seventh overall. John Ross taken ninth overall. That didn't work out. You know, Amari Cooper and Kevin White were both top 10 guys back in 2015. I don't think either of those guys worked out the way you had thought. 14, you had Sammy Watkins.
Cooper was solid at least. Like, Cooper was pretty good.
Yeah, but you're not, it's not a top five pick good.
No, because he's not a different team, correct.
Yeah.
But Amari Cooper, those first 3 years is...
You take Amari Cooper at 15, you're good with it.
Yes.
But you take him at 5.
But in the Aaron Rodgers situation where you have a compacted window, you would get enough from a player like that.
I guess, yeah. But again, you have to all take it in context. How much is it going to require you to move into the top 10 versus move up from 22 to, you know, 19?
Your point is
where
if you can find the value from 10 to 20 and move up a little bit versus move up into the top 10 and maybe find someone just as good as some of these Ja'Marr Chases, which is possible, we've seen, then you look
to try
and do that.
You can't move up to the top 10. If you move up to the top 10, that's going to require you at least another second, probably another first, and at that point, just go out and trade for, you know, Terry McLaurin or whoever you can possibly get your hands on, who's already a proven one. Speaking of proven, go ahead, Gabe.
Do you want me just to tease this, or should I just ruin it right now?
Well, we have ruin Jason right accent. Now. Yeah, ruin it.
Shout out to Jim. He just donated $500. We're now at $3,344. The little note he left on my on my little fundraising page. Let's see the red face on Ben.
Let's give him a round of applause.
Hey, thank you to Jim. Jim just flying in from the top rope.
Ben Russ looks absolutely terrified right now.
Wait, can Gabe slap me?
Just because it's less insulting than being from Josh?
Yes.
What? Well, now it has to be me.
Now it has to be
right.
Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't have been that against it. I would have been okay with Gabe slapping you.
What did I do? What happened today?
You're getting slapped in the face. That's what happened.
But you know what? Tonight, you're going to get food delivered right to your house, or at least I am. Because I don't want to cook tonight. I don't want to clean tonight. My kid is sick right now. The last thing I need to do is clean more. I've done so much freaking laundry. Changed the sheets I don't know how many times. I don't want to be doing dishes tonight. That's why I will be calling my friends at Eat Street. I will be going on the app, ordering it directly to my home. Ben Brust showing you a boo-boo on our stream. That's right. I forget to tell the people we're streaming live on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. There you can find the slap on video. So rush on over to Twitter at Scalzo and Brust and start streaming us there. But we do love Eat Street. They are the official food delivery partner of the world champion Scalzo and Brust family.
So can I tell you what
you're going to say? The and the world champion Milwaukee Bucks.
And the world champion
Every
Milwaukee
time
Bucks.
I do it, you get mad at me for doing it.
No,
so
it's
I was
fine.
Kind of leaving you the room to do it. But they are a godsend. They connect you with your favorite restaurants, bars, taverns in order to have food delivered directly to your home, office, or wherever you possibly are. Go to Eat Street, download the app, check it out. What, Benny?
I wanted to show the boo-boo to show people that I tried peeling a cucumber and I peeled some skin off, which is why I use Eat Street, because even when I cook, I hurt myself. I was bleeding for like an hour yesterday. Couldn't get it to stop. Didn't have any Band-Aids. Had to run to the grocery store. So why do I cook? Because I just hurt myself. I'm not going to. I'm going to order Eat Street, and they actually have leftovers from Eat Street, which is amazing. Sometimes I just order like meals.
How did you cut yourself?
With the peeler. Peeling a cucumber. I was holding it, and I caught my skin. And I peeled my skin off.
You need to be more careful.
I know I need to be more careful. Or I just need to order Eat Street because they do all the cooking and cleaning for me so I can't hurt myself. Download Eat Street, Eat Street app today and save your fingers and from getting cut when you're cooking like me.
Jason Wilde joins us next to talk Packers on Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
It just is a sad feeling around the Scalzo and Brust Super Bowl 56 train because we want to ban people who don't believe. You didn't believe. I still don't think you believe.
No, I do believe.
I think you like to say that you believe, but I know now that you don't because all you would have had to do is read a book.
So what if I told you I could do you better than reading a book?
Scalzo and Brust.
I'd tell you to go bleep yourself.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I'm not sure I want Ben Brust to get slapped in the face right now. Because there is a small sliver on the floor of the One Call That's All Gruber Law Offices studios here in Milwaukee. And I am notorious for playing with my wedding ring. It falls on the ground at least once a show. And I've always thought it would be nearly impossible for it to slip in that tiny crack.
It is a one in a million chance that it drops into that.
And sure enough, dropped into the crack today. Gabe Neitzel's picking up furniture. Me and Gabe are on on our hands and knees. Ben comes in. We look in the crack. Sure enough, he went down.
Gabe was in the crack.
I couldn't find it, so I don't even know where you found it.
Well, because there's a flap over here. I didn't know it lifts up. You didn't know it lifted up.
Oh,
so it lifts up.
Oh, you didn't know the flap lift up.
Yeah, I didn't know the flap lift
I'm
up.
I'm very technically savvy with all the wires that go into the studio, so I knew that you could lift
you need
that.
The flap, okay.
And with that, we welcome in our friend, our teammate.
Just 11 minutes late. Right? Are we that late for Jason?
I guess. I didn't know why we had to mention that. But yes, we are late.
Just pat on the back to us for owning it.
Pat
Sorry,
on the
Jason.
Back to us for owning that. Yes, 11 minutes late. Anything else you want to jump in with, Benny?
I just had to save Greg's marriage real quick.
Ben Brust on the verge of getting slapped in the face, which I'm now rooting for again. Jason Wilde, who you hear every day from 9 to noon. I'm Wilde and Tausch across these very stations. Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. Anytime you call is fine. It doesn't matter if you're early or late. Although I will say, I wasn't sure. I asked Josh, are you guys calling late for 5:15 or early for 5:30?
Well, Ben had to tell a story about how he cut his thumb peeling a cucumber during our Eat Street read when we were telling the world about the beauty of Eat Street.
Why you should get food delivered.
So that extended a segment about 4 minutes.
Well, and Gabe got his $500 donation right at the end of that segment as well, so we were all over the place.
Which means I get to get slapped, Jason, because the Mac Fund's getting more money, which is good. I figured I'll take a slap in the face for more money for the Mac Fund.
Wow. As long as you can take it like Chris Rock can.
I'll take it better.
Oh.
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 Oh. It was a G.I. Jane joke. All right, go ahead.
Jason, NFL draft coming up here at the end of the month. What's most likely, do you think, for Goot in this Packers front office to do? Trade up for a wide receiver, trade for a wide receiver using draft capital, meaning a veteran wide receiver or wide receiver all in the league, already in the league, or trading back in order to secure more picks and more cracks at it?
Ooh, good question. A lot of crack talk on this show, by the way, since I joined it. Thank you, Josh.
Fair enough. Yes.
I would say trade up for a specific wide receiver. I'm really eager, not that I want a replay of the madness that occurred 2 years ago when they drafted Jordan Love while we were all live on the air and Tausch had a conniption and it was just wild. But what if we get to draft night and they pick 22nd and they pick a really good offensive lineman who is unexpectedly there, and then they get to 28 and they take, I don't know, an edge rusher that wasn't supposed to be there. Then what? How will people react if they do the first night of the draft, two first round picks, and neither one is a wide receiver? What happens then?
They draft wide receivers in the second round.
Pandemonium, Jason. That's what happens. Our shows on Friday become incredibly easy because all we have to do is sift through caller after caller.
I would love it. That'd be great.
You think the Packers would be better?
The realm of possibility.
I mean, Jason, you're saying that they draft somebody at a great value at 22 and at 28 at two key positions that are ultimately both positions of need. They're just not the sexy position of need the way that the wide receiver position
is. But it's not the sexy. It's also the biggest position of need.
Well, what are the best, Jason, when you hear the best, smartest football minds out there, do they say draft for positions of need or draft best guy out there?
They already drafted best guy out there for Jordan Love. They traded up for him, man. They're bored.
I was asking Jason a question.
Ben, if you have anything to add first, I'm fine with that.
That was it.
Okay. The best player available is always ideal, right? We've heard that phrase so many times over the years. The problem is the tiebreaker is need. And in the Packers' case, are you willing or desperate enough to actually jump your board, as they like to say, and take someone who has a lower grade that plays wide receiver because of the need and because of, say, let's say there's a run on wide receivers. Gabe, I think I'm starting to lose track of how many times I've talked to you today, but I think it was on Homer and Tony where they mentioned that Dane Brugler's draft guide has five wide receivers in the top 21 players before the Packers even would be picking at 22. If a run happens, you know, Goody has obviously made some picks that have been great and some that have not been so great. And does he panic, but does he pick a guy thinking, look, we have to get a wide receiver. We didn't manage to pull off a trade. We did not sign anyone in free agency because, let's be honest, until this point, and the reason in part why they're in the predicament they're in at that position, they have not reached for wide receivers, right? Goody's first draft, three wide receivers, right? Fourth, fifth, and sixth round, Jamon Moore, MVS, EQ. 19 draft, zero wide receivers. 20 draft, which was viewed as the best wide receiver class in the history of the draft to that point, zero wide receivers. I mean, we had, not to the same degree because they hadn't lost Davante Adams in a trade, but we had this conversation in 2020. We talked wide receiver ad nauseum leading into that draft, and we kept bringing up, haven't drafted a wide receiver in the first round since Javon Walker, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Are they going to pick? Are they going to get Justin Jefferson? Are they going to get T. Higgins? We had Mel Kiper on our show, and he had Justin Jefferson as one of the fringe first-round wide receivers, and he had T. Higgins as the clear-cut first-round pick. Both of them obviously have been very good, Justin Jefferson even better. I'm just saying it's possible on draft night that this will not go in a way that leads them to the wide receiver they want. Now, I know they like Dotson from Penn State. They had three guys at his pro day. They've got a couple of other guys that they like that they've had in for visits. Pickens from Georgia. But I just think it's going to be fascinating. Every year you're fascinated to see who they pick. But because of what the situation they've created at wide receiver, it becomes so compelling. Whether they pick that wide receiver who's going to be, for them, hopefully the Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Waddle can play right away and be really good right away guy, or if somehow the draft plays out and they're waiting until the next day, Friday, to finally pick a wide receiver.
Jason, in 2019, it was around the trade deadline for Emmanuel Sanders. In 2020, it was Will Fuller. In 2021, it was Odell Beckham Jr. Do you think 2022 will be a year in which they actually make a move in season for a wide receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ben. I mean, obviously a lot will have to happen between now and the trade deadline in season. But if you look at the, you know, the trades that they didn't make, so to speak, like, I'm not sure that any of them can be viewed as egregious mistakes to have not traded for those guys and given up the capital to get them. But, and I just keep going back to the fact that, yeah, look, you only have so many picks. I totally understand that. But the idea that they have gotten to this point where, remember, it's not just about Davante Adams and trading him. It's also about, you know, MVS and EQ were both unrestricted free agents and went elsewhere. Do I think that they are a significantly worse team because EQ isn't on their roster? No, I don't think that. But if you look at how rarely this happens, where an entire depth chart has largely been wiped out and you are down to a guy that you drafted in the third round, who had four catches last year, a restricted free agent who has not signed his tender yet, and we at least have to allow for the possibility that there could still be a team, I think, in the next few days that makes a run at him before the deadline. And then a veteran who your general manager didn't even want on the team, right? Only did it because the quarterback told him to. So I've just never seen a draft where there's been such a glaring need. Yes, you guys are right. There are lots of needs for a team that has some rebuilding to do or reloading to do. But I've never seen a position quite as thin, especially one that is a position where your Hall of Fame quarterback will be throwing to these people, than where they've gotten a wide receiver. For me, I don't remember a time where they've had a depth chart that's looked like this at a key position.
Jason, have you ever been slapped in the face?
No, I don't think so.
What advice would you have for Ben Brust on the precipice of getting slapped in the face by Josh DiMaggio?
Oh, so it's Josh that's doing the slapping?
That's correct.
I don't like this. It should
be Gabe. I don't know how it happened, but it should be Ben Gabe. Committed, and next thing you know, here we are.
Next thing you know, the donations came pouring in, and now Ben's getting slapped in the face.
So had it been like $1,000, could it have been like a closed fist deal or?
Ooh, Jason's giving us ideas.
Do we want to up it?
If you get it to $5,000, it can be a closed fist.
All right.
What about like a Juwan Howard kind of open hand claw slap?
That was weak.
Yeah, Josh doesn't have as big a hands to do that.
That's true.
I think. If it would make you even more uncomfortable, I think Josh should give you a big bear hug for like 45 seconds instead of the slap.
I think that would make Josh way more uncomfortable than it would.
Yeah.
Oh,
I would love it.
Now I'm intrigued.
Neither of you guys like touching, though.
Yeah, but if it was Joshy, I'd embrace that hug and just hold on
to
him tightly.
You don't like hugging me, though.
No.
I'm not as huggable.
No, you're not as huggable as Joshy.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, I could be Little Spoon with Joshy. Can't be a Little Spoon with you.
Are you always a Little Spoon?
No, I'm always Big Spoon. So I'm saying it would be nice to change it up and be Little Spoon.
Okay. I feel like you like the Little Spoon.
Jason, though. You can just go. It's okay. Yeah.
Little Spoon or Big Spoon, Jason? What do you like better?
I'm not even sure. I think I understand what you're saying.
It's just, when you cuddle,
are you the Big Spoon
or the outside?
Big Spoon, generally, yes.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Jason.
It's the important stuff there.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
What else did you expect? It is Skelson and Bros presented by Bud Light. Gabe Neitzel hanging out here. His Mac Fund Marathon Challenge. And yes, the Packers are certainly up against it when you talk about their positions of need. That's why they're going to need a few players that we would call insurance at those various positions. When you think of insurance, who do you think of but American Family Insurance? That is who you should be working with, whether it's auto insurance, renter's insurance, or especially home insurance. If you are a homeowner getting ready to be a first-time homeowner, maybe you are a first-time homeowner like me, you don't know what the heck you're doing. So you need to have somebody who has your back. That's what you find with American Family Insurance. Of course, a local Wisconsin company. But the best part is, no matter where you live, you will have a local American Family agent. So find that agent. Meet with a couple of them. Figure out who you connect with, who you like. Build that relationship. Build that trust so that when you do have something inevitably go wrong in your home, right? The unexpected is inevitable for homeowners, then you have somebody working directly for you. That's what I did. And guess what? When something went wrong in our home, I called our agent, Katie. She walked us through every step of the process. They over-delivered on the claim. It was phenomenal. I could not be happier with my service with the team at American Family Insurance. So find your local American Family Insurance agent at amfam.com. That's amfam.com. I want to get back to this idea of jumping the board for a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Plus, Josh DiMaggio will slap Ben Brust in the face on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
Whose face is on the dime? It is FDR. You know who that is?
Franklin FDR. Franklin Roosevelt.
There you go.
What's his middle name?
Scalzo and Brust.
I will accept Franklin D. Roosevelt. That is good. That's good enough. That was mean. Now I'm being mean to Ben. Hand up, pat on the back to me. I apologize to Ben Brust. Now I'm picking on him.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His warm-up music on. He's getting ready. He's stretching out those knuckles. He is getting his heart rate going right now. Text Mac to 800-990-3776. Gabe Neitzel in here raising money for the Mac Fund, his marathon hosting day, to prepare him for his marathon golf day where he plays 100 holes on April 28th, not August 28th, April 28th, to raise money for a fantastic cause.
I thought we needed to raise like $1,000. What did we need to raise to get for me to get slapped?
We did. We raised like $1,000 for you to get slapped.
In like 5 minutes? It happened that quick?
Well, I mean, keep going, though, because if it gets up to $5,000, then Ben has committed to taking a closed fist punch.
Not in the face.
A belly punch
would still be funny.
I just had a slapitizer of a nice woo screaming Sicilian Supremus Maximus, so stomach wouldn't be good.
And shout out to Palermo's Pizza, who's been powering me all day long. Breakfast pizza, lunch. I had pizza for lunch. I got a nice little dinner pizza here to get me through the day, make sure I'm nice and fed, keep that blood sugar up. Shout out to Palermo's for helping us out and powering me through the day of 12 hours of radio.
Wow. It's a lot of hours of radio.
But yeah, since we raised like $600 just with the threat of you getting slapped in the face. Like $600 came in a matter of like 10 minutes.
Yep, that it is. That it does. And Josh DiMaggio will be delivering that slap as well. I do want to get back to one thing Wildy mentioned. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think. The idea of jumping your board for a wide receiver. So you have one prospect graded higher, or a number of prospects rated higher at other positions like offensive line, like edge rusher, maybe it's safety, some other positions that you still know, hey, I'm going to need to. And again, I'm not, you can't oversimplify. It's not Madden ratings where it's, okay, we know this player is better, but you have certain tiers. Would you take a lesser prospect on a lower tier simply because they play wide receiver over a higher tiered prospect if they play O-line or edge or some other positions? Because I have a hard time doing that, even understanding the need at that position.
I'd have to think long and hard about it, because if I take that guy instead of a wide receiver, like, that guy's got to be really good, because people are always going to remember, hey, remember when the Packers that were
still TJ Watt?
Yeah, they exactly. Like, Kevin King had to be so good when they decided to trade out because they didn't think TJ Watt was going to be anything good. And they decide to trade out.
It was a bad call.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. I think we could say that.
But people are always going to remember that.
Yes.
So if you got to be really damn sure if you take that offensive tackle or offensive guard or edge rusher.
But couldn't you argue that vice versa, where if all of a sudden, like, you've got a wide receiver you're stretching for at 22, and you could have taken a Jordan Davis or an edge rusher that turns out to be elite, like, now all of a sudden, isn't that the same thing where you take Sky Moore at 22 because you're worried there was a run on wide receivers, and the next thing you know, I'm going to mispronounce his name, but the kid out of Michigan turns into the next great pass rusher in the NFL?
Aiden Hutchinson's going one, man.
No, David Ajabo. Wow. Yeah, see, something. I was going to ruin it. It wasn't going to be great.
There's also the issue of the Packers do their draft evaluation based on, like, the positions they view the most valuable. So there are guys who they think are, like, Pro Bowl level, but they view a Pro Bowl level defensive tackle or edge rusher or offensive tackle higher than they do a wide receiver. So, like, they grade based on that. They don't just say, like, they don't do the ranking based on this guy's better than this guy.
If you had a prospect as a high, you had a group of higher ranked prospects, but you were staring at the board and you feel like you need to do something in the first round at that wide receiver position, would you want the Packers to go ahead and reach and draft a lesser prospect for the position?
Then it's easy. Then you try to trade out.
Just trade back. Yeah. Get more ammo.
Maybe more ammo. Not even necessarily this year, but like a second round pick for next year or a first round pick for next year, depending upon who wants to come up and grab that pick from you. Yeah, I would do something like that.
Not Josh. Josh
no,
wants that wide
out. Guy.
He wants that wide out.
Well, the position group has never been the way.
I agree. That's why it's a unique conversation. Yeah, and every other year, it's easy to say you take the best guy. This year, it feels like they're desperate. Their backs are against the wall.
I honestly don't know if there's ever been a weaker position group for the Packers going into a draft in the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers era.
No. Like, I think the calculus is changing for the Packers because they know
it. There's a couple of those years at running back, too, when they reached for, like, Alex Green.
But it was like a sixth-round pick. Who cares about running back? Running back is invaluable.
Alex Green was higher than a sixth-round pick, but we don't need to go down Alex Green out of Hawaii, who's a good pass-catching running back.
Oh, he's a third-round pick.
Yeah, it's what I thought. He was at least somewhat relevant. But, yes, but they've had other position groups. Benny, why don't you tell us about Ben's beer of the week?
It's RG Bev. You know, we're talking about Ryan Geist Beverage and Ryan Geist Brewery. They have created new hard craft beverages featuring an exciting array of fruit combinations and natural flavors. They have the innovation and science at Ryan Geist that is creating this, not beer, not seltzer, but hard beverage. Again, not beer, not seltzer, a hard beverage, no beer flavor. It is absolutely delicious. The bubbles and lemonade. The bubbles or lemonade are their core products. Right now, the Zango Crush is the seasonal. Anything that has the name Crush in it makes me want to buy it and crush it. RG Bevs, you should do that. You can do that at Woodman's Total Wine, Piggly Wiggly, Pick and Save, and Quick Trip. Again, not beer, not seltzer, not cider, hard craft beverage. Give RG Bev and their wonderful products a shot.
Ben gets slapped in the face by Josh next for the Mac Fund on Scalzo and Bros.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
Yeah, we probably handled that the incorrect way today, Ben.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll give the skeleton and breast family till 5:30 until I start bullying and directly calling people out by name.
Whoa.
I like it.
Whoa.
I appreciate that, Josh.
You bet.
If we get to $3,200 today, Ben Brust has given permission for Josh DiMaggio to slap him in the face like Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in the face. We'll post it on video on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust.
Yep. I like
That's it. That's all we got to do.
You guys are so generous. Money. I appreciate that. Thank
That's
you, Ben.
That's all we got to do.
Thank
well, there goes
Ben.
My donation
Thank
to the Mac
you,
Fund.
Ben. Thank you, Ben.
I was just about to text 800-990.
You didn't even defend yourself. Like, I clearly just made that up out of the blue, and you decided not to even
But
argue.
If it means we get more money for the Mac Fund, I'll take a slap to the face.
That was Ben Brust just walking backwards into a slap by Josh DiMaggio, the Scalzo and Brust family. That is you. We love you all. This is one of the reasons why we do, because you deliver every single time, especially when it comes to philanthropic causes. People can say whatever they want about the family, but we always step up when we can help others. And we did so today, of course, this because Gabe Neitzel joining us on his marathon hosting day to benefit the Mac Fund. Let's call the righty in from the bullpen. We got Max Meyer. And he can run back. He can push buttons back there with whatever's needed because Josh is needed in here.
All right. So we need to take a video of it, right?
Correct. Well, we have this video going right here.
Okay. Can we see it on the
I figure we do it by the Gruber Law Office. Is one call, that's all, if I need it after the slap.
Sure. Makes sense.
Nailed it.
Do we want another video of it? Just different angles?
Sure. Let's get a different angle on there. We will line it up. Josh DiMaggio looking really awkward right now. He's looking for some other space right now. Do you feel like you've got a good rotation? I'm worried about your follow-through is going to hit the wood on that sign. I would back off a little bit on that. All right, here we go. Josh DiMaggio, this is for the kids. To Ben Brust, give him a real slap. Oh, kind of a weak slap.
That was hard.
Benny took it.
Yeah.
He took it like a man. Hey,
he said he would take it. He said he would take it better than Chris Rock did, and I think he did.
That's all you got?
That's all Joshy's got. That's all Joshy's got. Big thanks to you, Gabe, for joining us today. Big thanks to the Scalzo and Brust family.
Big thanks to the Scalzo and Brust family for coming through and helping us get to over $3,300 today for the Mac Fund. Still have an hour left. And again, if you just couldn't donate today, maybe you have an opportunity to do so later. Just text MACC Mac to 800-990-3776 to get that donation link.
Big thanks to Wildy for joining us earlier as well.
Can I get a thank you?
Big thanks to Ben Brust for being willing to get slapped, even though I signed him up for it. Well done by you, Benny.
Thank you. Let's
give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
There we go.
You know I need my little affirmation.
Gabe Neitzel hangs on for another hour. Steven Watson joins him here. It is On the Tee on ESPN Milwaukee. If you're in Madison, you get Spain and Fitz.